You're listening to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast,
featuring the leadership of Ron Kitchens.
The topics discussed today are designed
to keep you moving always forward. Welcome, everyone, to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Tim Tarantine, here with Ron Kitchens. Ron, it's time to give thanks, man. How's it going?
I am so blessed and so grateful. It's awesome to be with you today, but this is Thanksgiving season. And really, Thanksgiving to Christmas to New Year's is always a special time for me, just because you get to look back at the end of the year and realize the amazing people who came into your life. And you're one of them. And I'm so grateful that we get to spend this time together today.
You too, man. My heart is overwhelmed with thanks. This is the time to give thanks. Actually, it's always time for that. This time we're reminded. And it's funny, we're talking about a topic today that people wouldn't typically think is the Thanksgiving theme. But in all actuality, Ron, when I think about my life and the times I have felt the strongest or the times I have celebrated the most success, typically it's after going through a failure. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today. That, in fact, one of the major things I guess I should be thankful for in my life are the times I've failed. Because when I fail and fail fast, and actually pay attention to the learnings from it, it seems like my life gets better. So that's at the center of our conversation today. To the listening audience, lean in. Ron, we're talking about failure as a reality and a necessity for business. Why should we even pay attention to this topic?
A risk is essential. If you're not taking a risk, you're not pushing the boundaries. And I will tell you, risk is a function of irrelevancy. So life is changing, and every generation says it, but I think we can document it. The speed of change is so high that if you're not pushing the boundaries and risking failure, you're clearly going to be irrelevant soon. On the other side of risk and failure is, you know, one of my prayers is, Lord, please don't let me succeed at something that doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, and that's what a lot of leaders do. They begin to succeed at something that maybe mattered once or was risky and they made it work and they do it so long that it doesn't matter. We see it with companies every day. Kodak's one of those great examples that they actually took the risk, created digital photography, had the technology and went, no, it's too risky. We're going to stay with film. Well, I don't know the last time I saw a canister of film.
Right.
Or, you know, I'm sure I have a box somewhere in the basement full of old cameras that still take film. But lack of taking a risk collapsed that company. It wasn't bad decisions on technology. Some of our listeners will remember this analogy. It wasn't somebody picked beta versus VHS tapes. They just chose not to participate at all because it was a risk. The greatest risk is irrelevancy, and it is not failure of a product or an idea or a program.
I was listening to Dr. Chad Edwards. He was with a leadership group with us a couple weeks ago. And Chad had read some new research that said that human knowledge is doubling now by the year. So literally every year, all that human beings know doubles. Now, in that kind of environment, if you're not prepared to take a risk or fail, you'll not only be irrelevant, you'll be completely left behind. So failure is not just about irrelevancy, it's about survival in today's environment, correct?
Yeah, it is. Moore's Law is the law that says essentially capacity of computers doubles every 18 months. I read an article now that said Moore's Law is 9 months, that those capacities because of the requirement. So it used to be they expanded because they could. Now they have to expand because they are required to because of the expectation and the knowledge out there. So it used to be cute, you know, when your grandmother first learned to use email and she would send you these emails or when she got texting and, you know, I'd get a line full of emojis. But now the standard is everyone in the world, you cannot communicate if you don't have capacity, and you become lonely and isolated if you don't understand what modern technology requires of you, and know that it constantly changes. We need only look at social media. You know, look at MySpace. Nah, my MySpace page hadn't got a lot of hits lately.
No.
But I'm sure it exists out there somewhere. I bet there are still bands and musicians who are shocked that their MySpace page isn't driving any traffic.
I guarantee they mostly have mullets.
Yeah. Hey. Technically, I had the moulet. That was
the
permed mullet. The only back half permed. That's the French version, the moulet. But I looked good. Yeah.
Yeah,
that.
You your moulet in MySpace. Y'all have fun.
Yeah, either learn to fail fast or there will forever be pictures of your mullet haunting
you. That's right. It'll be you and your moulet. So speaking of failure, I did something that I thought was genius at the time. I didn't know how powerful it was. Before I got married, I invited probably 25 men that I knew, who I trusted, to a party. And what I wanted them to do was tell me about marriage. I wanted them to tell me about their failures. And we just talked about it. And it amazed me how many of them had advice for me, but were unwilling to talk about how they failed, right? Why is it so hard for us as leaders to communicate about our failure? We know the power of failure and how it helps us, yet we seem reticent to share. I mean, to really be transparent about where we screwed up, why is that so difficult?
You know, I think it's that judgment thing. People, if they share their failure, then they're worried they're going to be judged and they're going to be labeled a failure, and it's going to be something they wear for the rest of their life. You know, it's very much an American thing. So Americans, you know, we don't celebrate business failure. And I'm not one of these that think, you know, you're not a real entrepreneur till you've failed 7 times, you know, and all this
just
stuff.
Get it right.
Yeah, all this Silicon Valley stuff you hear. Anytime you lose other people's money, it hurts my heart. But we don't celebrate these things, so we don't learn from them. And if you don't learn from this leadership, you know, somebody that we're both friends with, Joel Manby, who is the CEO of SeaWorld. Joel has been very honest when he was with our team, when he was at Catalyst University speaking, about his personal failures, about where he hit the rocks as a leader and struggled with depression, struggled with getting stuck in a dead-end job, and how his faith lifted him out of that. And so we like the redemption story, but it's really uncomfortable for any of us to hear that failure story. But unless leaders do that, unless leaders share that, then nobody ever knows that it's common. The things that are the most common in the world are the things that are the most personal.
Right.
And that we all have in common. But it's really hard. I would love to have had a videotape of that party, because I think it's something that we can all learn from, because we're all going to be faced with essentially the same challenges. And we know somebody who ran the race before us.
Yeah.
It doesn't make running the race easier. It makes scaling the obstacles easier, and you learn which ones are important to scale and which ones are important to run around.
There's no question that the communication and the judgment piece is huge, and that I wonder what would happen if, as a nation, we decided to talk about our failures. I wonder if we'd be in a different place as a nation if we talked about it in a way that said, let's learn from the past. Because it seems like, Ron, in companies, in our economy, in our nation, in our organizations, history seems to be repeating itself in a lot of different ways. We're not really making a change. What advice do you have for leaders who are trying to let failure be okay? What are some things that they can do to create an environment where people can fail and learn from it?
So I think for organizations, we treat failure not like Eeyore treats it. It's not our heads down, oh, you know, woe is me, gloom, despair, agony on me. But we don't treat it that way. We treat it like a case study. What happened? What were the action taken? And now, as we triage this, what did we learn from this and how would we adjust in the future? And I think that's what great organizations do. It is painful. And you've seen this picture I have. I have an important picture.
Yeah.
Of a NASCAR pit crew. And so anybody's ever been to NASCAR or watched a race know that the pit crew comes out and it is a blur. It's a whirling dervish of people. And then on TV, you see it, the car speeds away, and that's the last time you see the pit crew. The most interesting thing to me happens in the next 3 minutes. That pit crew all jumps over the wall. They all immediately go to a television, a monitor, where they have a coach who breaks down what that 10-second pit stop looked like. And they triage every action they take. They're constantly getting better. They're looking at where they failed, even if it's in the microsecond. Because by analyzing that, it helps them be incredibly stronger.
Yeah.
And they don't do it one time a race. They do it every single time. That's what great organizations do. That's what high performance does. But if you're always about patting yourself on the back and not looking at where you can improve, where those fails were, then you're never going to be excellent and you're never going to be high performance. You're never going to be that NASCAR pit crew.
Ron, I think what you just said is hugely important. The commitment to continuous improvement and learning from your failures is what great organizations do. I think the flip side of that is being on the receiving side of that critique, right? When you've been involved and you're failed and everybody's talking about your failure. I mean, I'll go back to first grade. From the time I was young enough to tie my shoes, I could get 10 out of 10 on a spelling test, have 5 bonus words and miss 2 of them. And what was everybody talking about? The 2 bonus words I missed. So we've all been socialized to feel bad about missing the mark. And so criticism, constructive criticism, critical conversations just don't feel good to us in our culture. What advice do you have for people on the receiving end of continuous improvement efforts like you spoke of? Because quite frankly, since the time we took spelling tests, that hasn't been fun.
No, absolutely. So the first advice is you got to read the book Creativity, Inc. by Ed Catmull.
Great book.
You know, it really talks about the Pixar way, about how Pixar has come around the idea. Pixar has never had a movie that wasn't a blockbuster success. That's one of the things about them that makes them unique. And that's not normal in the movie-making business. But it's because of their process of continual improvement. You can't continually improve unless you know what you're trying to improve. And so you got to talk about these things in a way that's not about you. It's about what greatness looks like.
It's about the work. Yeah.
It's about the work.
Yeah.
We are programmed. You know, one of the advice I got as an early parent, and I remember as it was yesterday, a lady named Karen Bearding ran a program called Parents as Teachers. Kelsey was, I don't know, maybe 2 at the time. And she sat Lynn and I down and said, now, your child is going to be above average. She is going to be incredible. I know. I'm pouring into her that she is going to be successful. But there are going to be report cards that come home that are 7 A's and 1 B. And you're going to want to talk about the B. And I want you to make a commitment right now to not talk about the B. And when that thing comes home, you celebrate those 7 A's and you celebrate how hard you tried to get that B. And there's a simple lesson we learned, but I think as leaders, we need to understand that too. We need to celebrate the A's, but we need to understand as the student that we need to step up and acknowledge, hey, I got a B, but I want to get an A. And what does it take? And be willing to ask the questions, to have the conversations, to make yourself that kind of straight-A student. And if you're not hungry for that as the recipient, then your relationship with the leader, with your team, is never going to be one that allows you to be world-class, allows you to be an Olympian of success. And I think that's how we're all hardwired to be. Or at least the people that you and I are lucky enough to work with every day. That's how they're hardwired.
So, Ron, I want to model for our listening audience and for those who are engaging the podcast all over. to talk about how do we talk about failure. So let's give them an example. I have not always gotten the leadership management thing right, Ron. I remember in a former position, I had a 360-degree assessment of my leadership. And what I got back in that assessment broke my heart. What I heard from my team was that I was a great external leader. I made everybody outside happy. But the people inside barely knew me. They were like, yeah, he's a great guy, we heard.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I, to this day, feel some reticence about that in my own heart because I know I could do better, and I didn't. I failed them on that. But learning from that failure and going through the pain of that, Ron, what I realized was that there is nobody more important than the people next to you. And there is no one more important than the team I have. And so in my time at Southwest Michigan First, I've just learned that loving on the people around me and supporting them is the most important thing I can do. And I would have never had that spirit had I not failed. I mean, I fell on my face, man. It was not pretty, the comments. And these people didn't dislike me. They did not love me. I just wasn't there for them. And I never have made that mistake again with the people I work with. And I think my teammates would tell you that I pay attention to them in a different way. And it's not because I was born with that gift. It was because I really screwed that thing up. And I just vowed that I would learn from it and do better. And so I'm not embarrassed to say it because it's been helpful. And I know there's other leaders who are struggling with that. But I think you and others have taught me about the importance of failing and learning how to fail fast, but you darn sure better pivot when you find out that you've screwed up. And so that's one of my biggest failures in my career, and it has transformed how I do my leadership.
No, I think that is awesome. And I think for me, it's really similar to that. And as I was thinking, that's, you know, too many times as leaders, we think a failure as if we tried to launch a product and it didn't work and that was our failure.
Right.
Or,
yeah, yeah.
You know, we wrote a book and it didn't work, or we stood up and gave a sermon and it just, you know, was crickets in the church when we got done. But that's our ego talking to us about that failure because it's tangible. But the reality, when I think of failure, mine is of being unkind through lack of communications. I get wildly passionate about new things we're doing, about whether it's a new leadership program we're launching or our new magazine 269, which I guess is a year old at this point. You know, I get really passionate about those. And so I'll grab a small team and we're blowing down the road and we're telling outside audiences about it and we're getting excited. And then I realize that my own team doesn't all know about it. And they're beginning to feel disconnected, and they're beginning to feel unappreciated. And if I'd have just taken the time to share along the way, that they wouldn't have had to feel that way because my lack of leadership. It's one of the reasons, you know, every Tuesday I speak to the whole team, and we're just, you know, kind of stream of consciousness most of the time. Hey, here's what's going on. Here's what I'm seeing. Here's what I'm doing. Here's what's topical. Here's what our calendars are beginning to look like for the next quarter. And really, it's out of my hope that my leadership is more inclusive by requiring that I communicate better.
Well, Ron, we certainly have learned today that all of us do fail. It's a necessary tool for improvement. And quite frankly, it's something during this Thanksgiving season we should all really be thankful for. What I really love about failure, and I guess what I'm most thankful about failure is what John Wooden said, that failure isn't fatal, but failure to change may be. So we hope that in this season, all of you in our listening audience have a great time with your families. You think of the things that you're thankful for. And maybe even over the holiday break when you're with your family, why don't you share some failures with the next generation? Let's all work together to do better. Thank you, Ron, for being on today and for your wonderful insights. Thank you, audience, for listening. And remember, let's always move, always forward.
Thanks for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We hope today's insights will help you develop into the leader you dream to be. To subscribe to Ron's blog or to submit a question for Ron to discuss in a future podcast, visit ronkitchens.com or tweet him at ronkitchens.
Hi, this is Ron. Thank you for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. You know, one of the great things about leading an organization and leading here at both Southwest Michigan First, Consultant Connect, and 269 Magazine is I get to meet with groups all over the country to talk about what leadership feels like, economic development, talent, community capitalism, and what it takes to build incredible teams. You know, I encourage you to check out my speaking page at ronkitchens.com to see if we're close to you at an event that you possibly could come at, or if there's an opportunity for us to come pour into your organization or your team. I really look forward to the opportunity to share with you this amazing gift we've been given called leadership.